There is some debate on why John the Baptist asks his cousin Jesus if he's the one to come or if they should expect another. Some say John had his doubts. That doesn't bother me, since he was human, like the rest of us. But others say that he did not ask for himself. John knows that he will be executed by Herod at any time, and that he does not doubt, but wants his disciples to hear for themselves, how Jesus would assure them that he is the true Messiah. These are difficult times for John, who's in prison. Everyone is anticipating his execution at any time. John is being toyed with. He's being kept alive and brought into Herod's presence for his entertainment value. Everyone knows that John's days could be over very soon. Jesus also is under constant threat. The religious authorities are constantly challenging him, trying to find fault in him, bringing charges against him in order to get him into more trouble with the Romans or with the religious authority. Neither John the Baptist nor Jesus make a spectacle of their greatness. They both are humble men. John, a human, takes on camel flesh for clothing. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, takes on human flesh and clothes himself in humanity and humility. John points to Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John says, "Jesus must increase, but I, John, must decrease." It was John's mission to humbly prepare the world to better understand and to better receive Messiah, Jesus. That's why Jesus says that John is the greatest of prophets, and even more than a prophet, because he had the responsibility and the privilege of helping people recognize Jesus as the Savior of the world. And John was faithful, even to his imprisonment, and as we see later on in Matthew, his death. Jesus says, "Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." Blessed are those who do not despise Jesus because of his humanity and his humility. We are truly blessed when we believe that God did the great work of sending his eternal Son to be born, to live, to teach, to heal, to die, to rise again for us. Both John the Baptist and Jesus, the Messiah, both come as servants. Servants to God and servants to us to help us understand God's activity, his great work among us, as he brings God's reign from heaven to earth. John and Jesus build the kingdom of God on earth from the bottom up. It makes me think about driving into the city early in the morning. Sometimes the great skyscrapers of Chicago are clothed in fog and cloud. Sometimes you can only see the base of those tall structures. You know my love for hiking. And when you hike great mountains, you may begin under the cover of darkness, in the fog, in the clouds. You trust the forecast for later that day that the fog will lift, the clouds will melt away in the blazing sun, and you will see their majesty. We know that the greatness of buildings and mountains are sometimes obscured and hidden. We trust that even though we have not yet set foot at the top of those great heights, they are greater than what we can now observe. This is the humility, our humility, and our patience of Advent as we wait for the coming of Jesus again. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor the heart imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Jesus is not offended by us and our questions, just as he was not with John and his disciples. Are you the real deal, Jesus? Are you the one who you say you are? Are you really coming back? Were you really the Word made flesh? Jesus is patient toward us. He comes to encourage us, to strengthen our faith. He comes to build us up in him from the bottom up. He comes to extend his reign into our lives and into our minds and into our hearts. So we should not take offense at Jesus or at God. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, as Scripture says. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. God's thoughts and ways are so high that they're like those mountains and skyscrapers, hidden by the fogginess of our minds and our clouded thinking. It only makes sense that God's greatness is not yet fully known by us, that we must wait before we realize our perspective is limited by our mere mortality. Barbara Brown Taylor says, "Blessed are those who do not let the Messiah they are expecting blind them to the Messiah who is standing right in front of us." The greatness of Christ comes wrapped in the flesh of a human baby. He comes to us wrapped in the words of Scripture and the Gospel. He comes wrapped in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. One day, he will come wrapped in his full, blinding glory. The truly mind-blowing thing that Jesus says to us in our Scripture today is this: the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. That's you. That's me. We are those who have been baptized into an even greater name, the triune God. We are now royal daughters and sons of the King. 1 John 3:2 says it this way: "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we shall see him as he is." One day, and the day comes quickly, Jesus will come in his full glory. The heavens will rip apart, and the King of Glory will be ushered in and make all things new, including you and me. We will be transformed into his likeness, even the least of us in his kingdom. He will not clothe us in camel skin or in greater humanity. We will be clothed in the blinding light and the righteousness of Christ himself. We will realize how great he has recreated us in his kingdom. We will celebrate an eternal wedding feast that begins today in the great company of Jesus the groom and we as his beautiful bride. And that's why we pray. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.